Whenever you are at a junction, when the next greatest thing is supposed to happen in your life, then you also be faced with the biggest temptation you have to confront with. God will never provide for you through stealing. Get it right. If I got the money in my hand, it's not your money. God does not provide for people through stealing. If I got the change in my hand, it's not your money. God does not provide for people through stealing. You know, I had to study because when I saw their drama, it ministered to me. Why did it minister to me? Because you see, in this financial or current economic state of Nigeria, the boys will be separated from the men. How would they be separated from the men? Those who know God will rise stronger. Those who are just mouth Christian will go down. Because what is unfolding before us is not a small thing. But God knows those who are his. Let everyone who nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So when I'm talking about core values, I'm talking about the things that are the heart of your decision making. The things that power your life. You must decide it. You must choose it. So that when you are face to face with life's greatest choices, you rather say, I'd rather go down now or rather be poor than to be a foreigner in my life. When I saw that money, my God, it has never happened before that somebody will accidentally pay 1.4 million into my account. And I knew I needed 1.3 million. I needed 1.3 million. And I've been praying since Monday, Lord, this money I want to give to these people, provide. Then the computer system, 1.4 in my account like that. You should know when I slept, borrow it, you return it back. Borrow it, you return it back. Borrow it. None of you will know. Even now that I've said it, even that, if that temptation wants to come again, know that it's too late already. Because all of you want to know the end of that story. So the first thing I did was to hold myself accountable to my team. I said, these people's computer has deposited money. And I said, call the customer. The customer said he has gotten his money. I said, they have deposited money. You need 1.3. Then they said, I'll call. This is the provision of God. You need 1.3. He gave you 1.4. Pay your 1.3. You have 100,000 naira. Pay your tithe. And it becomes blessed. God does not bless thieving money. Permit to use that word, thieving money. Is somebody with me? So when I then saw what I preached, that you cannot love God and money. I said, that's why the devil came this week. You cannot love God and money. Run away from anybody that lost money. Then me, I have said it. Then money then came. Let me see whether you bow before me. But I thank God I'm not bowing. Until the kingdom of Jesus come, we will never bow for money. Let's keep disgracing the devil with what we have, which is the love of Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. So when we talk about loving God, how deep is your love for God? How deep is your love for God? How deep is your love for God? You see, that financial transaction, I believe that it just came to test the depth of my love for God. How deep is my love for God? How deep is my love for God? How deep is my love for God? How deep is your own love for God? Now, you cannot be a child of God without thinking about your love for God. Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant. As an offering and a sacrifice unto God and as a fragrant aroma. There are three dimensions or three types of love. Majority can sum up love in three. Number one is filial, all right, or philia, which is a verb, which is sincere platonic love, brotherly love, love of the mind,
Philio, love of the mind, love of the feelings, is where you have feelings. Feelings love. Is the love of the mind. So this is the love that comes when somebody is very nice to you. You feel you love the person. You know, you just have that emotional warmth toward the person. Somebody is nice to you. Somebody cares for you. You know, you respond back with such a care for the person. Somebody loves you. You love the person back. Is the base, is the love of the mind. You realize it's filial because the day the person stopped being nice to you, naturally you also reciprocated back by not loving the person back. So that's how come we can quarrel with people that we once loved. Because that love was love of the mind. You are nice to me, I'll be nice to you. You care for me, I care for you. It's a love of give and take. You understand? You do good to me, I do good to you. In fact, that's where it's a love you can say that, what you give or what you sow is what you what? Reap. So it answers to it. Then the other one is eros, love of the body. This is what you see mostly dramatized in music videos and especially entertainment industry. The one who say, oh girl, you they come, oh this. You see them, they will just show the breast like that. The girl, and the girl will go and put Vaseline and Idiagbon for every. Do you know Idiagbon? Oh, is it Idiagbon or Idiagbon? Forgive me, Lord. Idiagbon is coconut oil, right? Coconut oil. You will go and rub the coconut oil from and she's shining brighter than the sun. And as she's coming like that, in the, you know, you say, go and watch what they're saying in the music video. It's like anything, they will go and look for one shape that will, no, and most of those, I hear they have started having problems now. All those who have gone to put water in their breasts. I don't know. Even the bum is not the real bum anymore. I hear they have bum that organizer used to pump now. I don't know. Wait, they go to the organizer, he pumps a size what? 32. He want the engine. He want the engine. He don't do. He will off the engine. Bubble. So he can they pump the bubble now. Errors. So before you marry, go and ask. Did you pump it? Praise God. Then the next one is agape love. This is the love of the Spirit. It's a love that comes from God. Agape, John 5:42, says, but I know that you do not have the love of God in yourself. That's agape love. You do not have the love of God in yourself. 1 John 4:7, New Living Translation says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God. This is not filio. This is not eros. It's the love from God. You can categorize the love into two, perfect love and imperfect love. Perfect love and imperfect love. 1 John 2:5 says, but whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Know we, he that saith he abideth in him, ought him also to walk even as he walked. Perfect love. So he said here, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So there is a perfect love. That's two categories of love. The other kind of love is the imperfect love. The imperfect love. If one is perfect, then the other one is imperfect. You see, the imperfect love is more of filial. It's feeling driven. It's the love of the mind. Is the base of all love. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's imperfect love. Now, knowing this foundation, the question then is, how do we walk in love towards others? You see, agape love, which is the love of God, is not the love that you can develop naturally. It's the love that comes to you at the point of salvation. It's the love of God. If any man be in Christ, is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, agape love.
the love of God. That's why the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Is a love that is a product of your walk with God. Is a product, is a fruit. It comes as a result of your intimacy with God. That's agape love. Now you see, before you can love your neighbor well, you need to have a relationship with God. So that is why the first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your heart. Then thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, you derive the love for other human beings from the love you have for God. So you want to be a better husband. You want to be a better father. You want to be a better fiancé. You want to be a better daddy. You see, the thing is, you cannot love people well enough without first loving God. So in relationship, especially for us who are married, you want your husband to love you more. The first thing you need to do is direct his love towards God. Because if he can love God more, he will love you too more. The love that most of us yearn for in marriage and in relationship is actually the love of God. Because you realize that after some time, the man you have married has changed. The woman you have married has changed. She's not as caring anymore. He's not as caring anymore. And you wonder what has changed. It's because filio is not sustainable. Filio cannot build things that will have eternal value. Filio, I love you, baby. You know, I will swim across the ocean to deliver a cube of sugar to you unhurt. I can do anything for you. Anything for you. But you see, the day you don't cook well, it will not do anything for you anymore. The day we you don't give her chop money, she stopped being nice to you. I don't like him anymore. Why? He's not calling me. But I thought you said, I will always love you. Lady P was telling me the other day, it's said 2 weeks ago, about some weeks ago, one of the socialite women in Lagos married, and after about 2 months, now I don't know whether some of you, she was caught on Todd Milan Bridge trying to commit suicide, all right, because 2 months wedding broke up. Let me say this. The rate at which weddings or marriage are failing is because people do not understand the mystery of love. Love is beyond feeling. Feeling love cannot build a lasting marriage, because feeling comes, feeling go. God endures forever. Most relationships, most marriages are based on feelings. But have you forgotten that there will be time you will not be happy? There will be time that it will hurt you. There will be time she will hurt you. And you see, for 2 months, marriage to collapse. The question is, they did not know that they have to translate from feeling to agape. If you want a lasting relationship, agape is the key. And agape is not a fictitious love. It's a love that will only be produced as you go deeper, deeper, deeper in your walk with God. Is somebody with me today? Now, how do we walk in love with God? Because now, as for God, you can't have sex with God. You can't kiss God. You can't hug God. Remember, the Bible said that God is love. How do we love him? How do we walk in love with God? Because you see, the greatest challenge is for a man to know how to love God. How then do we walk in love with God? Because you see, if you succeed in your love walk with God, you cannot be a failure in life. If you succeed in your love walk with God, by all means, you will succeed in all your endeavors. How do we walk in love with God? Ephesians chapter 5 verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Verse 31 then says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be what?
One flesh. But look at what it says. Verse 32.
This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The mystery of love. Mystery is something that is very deep to understand. The Bible calls marriage a mystery. It calls the relationship between a man and a woman. You know, yesterday I was at a wedding, and you should see the way the guy loved his bride. When the bride came in, the guy was just showering. Then the groom was just showering his bride with money. I said, what a love. What a love. But you see, the old people there, a lot of them don't get excited. On wedding, they go and check. Most of the old people don't laugh. They just came here to eat the rice and honor the parents, you know. Because you see, they were like, we see ye. You don't understand yet. You don't know how you don't know. All this, as you come and see the guy dressing. There was one particular step as he was praying the money. He said, I think they tell. Then he come back. He said, oh, I said, what a love. But you see, the old people, they were just eating their rice. How many meat there? Because it's like, they realize that. Even so, as I'm talking, that some married people are, they understand what I'm saying. That after some time, they will come back for counseling. Is it true? So you see that old people don't get excited. They only come to eat rice often. Because they realize that when you marry is another ball game entirely. Amen, somebody. How do we walk in love with God? So, in order to understand how to walk in love with God, we need to understand the mystery of marriage. Because Bible calls it, it said Christ is the head of the church. In other words, the relationship of the church with, or our relationship with God, or the relationship of Jesus with his church, is your relationship. How it is with you and your husband is how it is with us and God. So when God wants to look at how we should treat him, he said to you, go and look at the mystery of marriage. Because that's the only thing God used to be able to communicate. Lord said, Christ is the head of the church. Then as the husband is, so shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cling to his wife, and the two shall become one. In other words, he said, great is the mystery. He said, but I speak of Christ and his church. In other words, all this thing about marriage, husband and wife, is about Christ and his church. Say with me, what a mystery. Don't mind the light. Just love Jesus. Are you there? Jeremiah chapter 2. Verse 1. Or Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah 54 first. Isaiah 54 verse 5. Isaiah 54 verse 5. Isaiah 54 verse 5. For thy maker is who? Thy husband. For thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the only one of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. The Bible says God is our husband. So before God, male and female are his bride. We are the bride of Christ. He said your maker is your husband. You know, in other words, when we look at God, we should look at him as our husband. We are married to him. That was why the Bible then said that this is the mystery. This is the mystery. This is.
in your relationship with him. The responsibility and the duty and the ideal woman, the ideal wife, what she ought to do, what she does to please her husband. You see, that painted, that image, that principle that makes a woman a good woman, when we look at that, this is a good wife. He said, that is, if that you understand those criteria of what makes a good wife, then you will pass in your walk with God. You know, the word, we are his bride. He is our husband. Your maker is your husband. You know, why do most marriage fail? Number one, because you see, men fell in the Garden of Eden. So when men fell in the Garden of Eden, you can understand that something was taken from their relationship. A fallen man cannot be a perfect husband, and a fallen woman cannot be a perfect wife. Is there? Look at how long Bill Gates was married, one of the richest men in the world. And after about 35 years or so, 30-something or 20-something years, the same with Jeff Bezos, these are billionaires. They still walk away from their marriage. They still walk away from their marriage. So it tells you that good marriage is not a product of money. It's more. There is more to it. And now, we are also married to God. Whether you are a single brother or a single sister, whether you are a married man or a married woman, there is one person we've all been married to. He's our maker. God, you are his wife. So whenever you feel, those of us who are married or you are in a relationship, the disappointment and the pain you feel from your husband or from your wife, that should tell you how God feels when you don't treat him well. Do you know that one of the things that is very hard for us to understand is that God has a feeling and that you can hurt God? If the Bible says in Psalm 2 verse 8, and he that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, that means that you can also make God cry. Because of course, laughing is a form of emotion. It cannot just be there. Most of us do not know that God has emotions. And that's why he calls us his bride. And there are things he expects from you as his wife. So whenever the Bible is talking about wives submit to your husband and all those things, it should resonate with you that this is what God also expects from me. How do we walk in love with God? Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 1. It says, the Lord gave me another message. He said, I'm reading from New Living Translation. The Lord gave me another message. He said, go and shout this message to Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. I remember how eager you were to please me as a young bride long ago. You see, he was writing to Jerusalem. He was writing to his people, his Israel. And he chose to use the metaphor of love again, marriage. He said, I remember how eager you were. Give me KJV. Look at it in KJV. Give me KJV. KJV. He said, KJV, very fast, guys. Can you help me out with KJV? Go and cry in the years of Jerusalem, say, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth. You know, when people marry early, or they marry, when you in the early stage of marriage, there are some good memories. I remember when I first got married, and I'm going to work. My wife has to go to work. We are both late for work. In the car, my wife said, no, you can't go to work without eating. And we'll be there. My wife will be feeding me as I'm driving. Oh, my God. And my head will be swelling as I'm driving. She will say, are you? And some people will say, ekoranu ekoranu. I said, oh, tori wo to dan. Continue. And I enjoy those times we spend in traffic. Because traffic moment, I will eat more. And she'll be feeding me. And no more, right? Powerful. But after some time, she stopped. Oh. So yesterday when we left where we were going, I said, Ali, you know, we just left the wedding now. When we attend wedding, we should actually re-examine our life. So feed me again in the car. So she brought out something in the car and she began to say, okay. You see, because when we are young,
That is why it's good to marry early. God said, I remember. I said, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth. Do you realize that the more we grow older, the lesser our love for God becomes? Some of you seated here today, when you were younger, you used to sing very well. But now, where's the love of your life? You don't sing anymore. Some of us, when we're younger, we're the best dancer in the world. But now you have a job, there's a car, and you know somebody's carrying your bag. So you say, I don't want them to think of less of me. I don't dance anymore. And God will look at you and say, I remember you before you got married. How you used to spend time to pray. I remember your SU days. They call you the prayer machine. Your tongue alone makes me pray. Kaputa, 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 papa. Even when you speak those tongues. But now what has happened to you? You mean all this love, only one job can quench it. You mean all this love, only one child can take it away from God. You mean all this love was all because you were not married after all. So you only wanted to use God for your marital destiny. Oh, you mean all this love was because you didn't have money. So you see, those night vigils you used to do was because you were looking for ego. Ego has come. God has gone. God is gone. How deep. And he's saying to you today, I remember. I remember. I remember. God is longing for lovers. God is longing for lovers. How do we love God as a bride? You see, to be able to love God as a bride, one of the things that you must know, what does love mean to God? What does love mean to God? We are in a generation that don't even care about the feeling of God anymore. My husband is not nice to me. But when he was not nice to God, you never prayed about it. That God help my Lord help my husband to love you more. But now he has now descended on you like a lion. You are complaining. But when he was not going to church, you never prayed about it. You never fasted because he was a good man. He was giving you, he was taking care of his children and everything. Else. But you realize you forgot that if he cannot love God, failure cannot build your marriage for life. Feelings don't build marriage for life. I remember. Give me that scripture again. You know, look at the way NLT puts it. Go and shout this message to Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. I remember how eager you were to please me as a young bride long ago. Are you a long ago Christian? Do you know something? You know, somebody was telling me this week the experience he had with a customer. How the customer lambasted him on the phone. And because of something that happened in their office, so the customer lambasted him and he could say, sorry, 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 sorry. We are sorry. We are sorry. Sorry. How can we make it up to you now? But the same person, not the same, will come to church. Only one person will just step on your shoe and say, no, I'm not coming to church again. Because of money, you can endure the insult from a customer, but you cannot endure even the frowning face of your own member in church. Some of us, our love is so light, even if pastor does not even come to visit you one day, you become a backslider. But you see, you have been going to work all these days. No customer has come to your house to visit you, yet you are going to that work. Because you see, money is bigger in your heart than the love you have for God. I remember your love for me. What does love mean to God? When I look at the sacrifices we do for money, go to this place 4 a.m. in the morning. When I used to do vigil in the morning in this area, there's a young lady, 4 a.m. They are carrying their bag to the junction. What woke them up? Money. If you doubt me, tomorrow Monday, go to this junction here and you will see them, young people. No excuse can stop them. 4 a.m. And by the time they come in the night, they say, I'm tired. And God will look at my dear. You didn't say hi to me this morning. Say, God, you see, I'm very busy. I have to go to work. Then you come in the night. Oh, I'm tired. When I'm leaving my house Sunday morning, you can count on your finger how many people you see at the bus stop. Why? Because the God of this world has taken men hostage. And the love of God is no longer in the heart of men. You think you love God, check what you sacrifice for. No, check what we sacrifice for. What is love for God? John 21 verse 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lamb. Verse 16, he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, you know that I love you. Then he said unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17 again, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas. Now you can put your name there. Dupe, or Chikodi, or Chigoze, or Tolu. You can put your name there. Lovest thou me more than these? Then he said unto me, he said, Lord, you know that I love thee. He became worried. Then Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. To love God, you must love what he loves. To love God, you must love what he loves. Let me shock you. If the judgment of love should come through the church, a lot of Christians will fail because we don't really love what God loves. We don't love what God, and this is why most Christians are frustrated today, because they want God to bless them so that they will keep loving what they love, but they don't love the thing that God loves. In my time, I have never seen a woman who has been happy if she does not have the fruit of the womb. I am yet to come across that woman. That she's been married. Even if the husband says, okay, just like Anna. You know, the husband of Anna was telling Anna, don't worry, am I not more than 10 children to me? He said, no, there is nothing like giving birth. I have not seen a woman who is celebrating that she's not fruitful. Most women know that they will pray about it. They will fast. They will do whatever it takes to give birth. To give birth to a child. And I pray for anyone in that condition. God is showing you mercy. God is remembering you. But as much as that is important, not giving birth is not the worst thing that can happen to a woman. Not having a spiritual child is much worse than having a biological child. You see, having physical children is good, but it's not the worst thing that can happen to a woman in a marriage. Not having a spiritual children is worse than not having biological children. But you see, most of us have never prayed concerning our spiritual children. You don't have one person that can say, you led me to Christ, but you are not worried. Look at the care we show for our earthly children. We send them to school. We pay their school fees. We are always calling them. But in your life, there is no one spiritual child that you shower such emotions to. You have missed the definition of love. God loves souls. He loves souls. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Remember, when the Bible said that he gave his only begotten son, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. And the Word became what? Flesh, and dwelt amongst us. So God himself became flesh, just to be sure that one person gets saved. When God became man, he never looked for a car. When God became a man, he never looked for a house. He said, the foxes have air, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. He could have built a mansion for himself. He could have built a palace. But you see, he said, I came to seek and to save
that which was lost.
He was not looking for a job. When God became a man, he was not looking for the best designer clothes. Check your prayer request and you will know whether you love God. When God became man, he showed man how to love God. When he became a man, he showed us how what matters to God. He died. He died just to get one person saved. You will not go through the inconvenience of even praying every morning to get one person saved. You know, when I looked at the kind of prayer we normally pray on Rise to Glory before, every morning, prayer for divine help, prayer for prosperity, prayer for this. At the point, I said, no, guys, I don't think these prayers are as fantastic as we have made it. How come we are not praying for souls to be saved? Because when you have all this money and you are away from God, what is it? Hey, people of God, listen to me. To love God means to love the people he died for. To love God means to love souls. You love doing whatever it takes to see that someone comes to know Jesus. What does loving God mean? It is my prayer for you this morning. Because most of us cannot remember or cannot even imagine that when God looks at us, he cries. Because each time you come, said, she's coming to ask for a car. He has given you the car. The essence of giving you the car is so that you can serve and work for him. You have the car. You logged out. There was a time that marriage was your problem. He gave you a husband now. But yet, you are still not loving him back. There was a time maybe having a child was your problem. He has given you children. Or he gave you a child. Yet, you are still too busy to serve him. Now, you have come back with another request. Why should he answer you? What have you done with the last one he gave to you? It made you, every blessing from God only make you a backslider. Each time he blesses you more, you repay him by going more backward. Not by drawing near to him. Now you have come again. Lord, bless me. And he said, Lord, bless me in the spiritual context when it comes to you. Lord, bless me so that I can backslide more. Because every blessing only causes you to backslide more. Ephesians 1 verse 17. NIV, please, if you have NIV. Ephesians 1 17. You know, this has been my prayer in recent time. And this I want it to also be your prayer. Ephesians 1 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Let me tell you how NIV, if you have NIV, check what NIV says there. He said that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge so that you can know him better. So that you can know him better. So that you can love him better. Paul prayed for the Ephesians church. He said that God will direct your hearts into his love. God will direct your heart into his love. The question this morning is, what has separated you from the love of God? How deep is your love for God? The next time your wife, you have a complaint about your wife or your husband, know that let that be a reflection for you to understand that that's the same complaint God has about you. How are you treating God? How are you treating God? What does it mean to love God? To love what he loves. What are the things he loves? Number one is soul winning. Soul winning. When we used to be Christians, I say that word when we used to be Christian. Some of us would stand by the road to tell people about Jesus. Some of us would stand at our work to tell about Jesus. When we used to be Christian, every morning we wake up to pray, Lord, I love you. You know? Sometimes when you look how we treat God, you'll feel pity for God. Most people don't love God for who he is. They only love God for what they need from him. Every prayer, every morning is, Lord, it's not about, Lord, what do you want me to serve you today? Lord, what will you like to eat today? You know, when I was praying this morning, I felt bad for myself because I realized that it's all about what I want him to do for me and not what he wants me to do for him. From today, you want to see true success in this season. Let it be about him. Let your heart burn for him. Let your passion for... People are not treating God well. Our generation have become more materialistic than ever. The next big thing is what I want God from God, not what he wants from me. I pray today that we'll rise to love God more. I pray today that you'll not love your children more than you love God. As it stands, we love our children more than God. As it stands, you love your mother, your father, your husband, your wife more than God. But it's my prayer that your love for God will be above all this. If there is anything we need to do, it's actually to repent about the way we treat God. And I pray that genuinely we all repent and we love him better. Can you start?